So what we witnessed was an outpouring of Holy Spirit. And I know people have these different beliefs and they wonder, can you pray for a child to receive Holy Spirit, or can you pray for anyone to receive Holy Spirit? But we just saw evidence of that being the case. And the Bible is full of examples where the apostles laid hands on people to receive Holy Spirit. Now, you do not have to be an apostle to lay hands on somebody for them to receive, because a lot of people see that in the scripture. Thank you, Eric. A lot of people see that in the scripture and think that, oh, only apostles can do this, or only certain ones. That the gift of Holy Spirit is for every believer. And the ability for it to help someone receive the gift of Holy Spirit is also for every believer. So I'm going to read to you a passage from Joel chapter 2. And I'm going to start reading at verse 28, and then I'm going to back up and give context for what I'm going to share. So Joel chapter 2, verse 28, it says this: "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon my men servants and maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days." Say, "These are those days." So he said, in those days, which are these days, that all flesh, the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon all flesh. And he did not give a distinction. Every distinction that people had at that time was named. So no matter your position, no matter your gender, no matter your age, you can receive the gift of Holy Spirit and begin not only to speak in tongues, but to operate in the supernatural power of God. Say amen to that. Because the purpose of Holy Spirit is not simply for the gift of tongues, which is one of the expressions. Now, a lot of people cannot distinguish between the personal gift of tongues and the prophetic gift of tongues. There is a difference. The prophetic gift of tongues is the ability to pray in a tongue, to prophesy, and at that time, God has someone, either the person speaking or someone else, to interpret. Now, the personal gift of tongues is the prayer language promised to every believer that says that we pray the mysteries of God. And it says, because Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God, and we pray them according to the will of God. And when we do that, we also build up our most holy faith. And so that is the personal gift of tongues that is for every single believer. No disqualification. Now, the enemy would try to bring, you know, confusion with that, because he doesn't want you to operate in the power that you have, which is why Jesus told the first apostles, and notice I said first apostles, because there are apostles today, because some people don't believe that there are apostles, and then there are people saying they are an apostle when they're not. I mean, that's a totally different thing. And he told them to wait in Jerusalem until the entrance of Holy Spirit. Now, when Holy Spirit came, he came on that day, on the day of Pentecost. Why did he tell them to wait? Because he said, you will be endowed with power. And so we need power of Holy Spirit to fulfill our assignment, which is why we laid hands on the educators as well as the children. You need to walk in the power of God on a daily basis. It is not, we don't want to just talk about it, and God never designed our gatherings to be emotional injections for us to just run around and be, oh, that was a good time. This is not a concert, or this is not just we come get an emotional high and that's it. God has designed for us to gather together, to strengthen each other, and then when we leave the gathering, we go out and fulfill our assignment. And so I'm going to talk to you today about agreeing with God in the day of his power. We are in, as Apostle said, the day of the saints. We are in the time of aggressive kingdom advancement. We are in the time of the glory days. I've been saying it for over a year. We are in the glory days. There are people phrasing it 1,000 different ways. Time of fulfillment, time of new beginnings, time of the double-double. They're saying all these things, and I'm telling you, this is that time for the outpouring. This is that. And so in this time and in this season, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were just giving them to me. God, make it plain. Make it plain. Here you go. So, oh, I probably stepped off camera, didn't I, Val? Because you know, you be on it, girl. Be on it. So this is that day. Now, I'm going to tell you, a couple of weeks ago, God told me that we are in a season of rain. And what God has been doing with me lately has been kind of fun, because he'll tell me something and then confirm it with the weather. Right after he said that, it was raining like nonstop here. And then I shared that word with some others I know who are in different cities, and they were like, look, it's raining here too. And I'm like, yeah. One person used to live in St. Louis, and she was moving at the time that I gave that prophetic word. She said, look, it rained so much in St. Louis that it's flooded, and they said it's been more rain today than they've seen in over 100 years combined. There's somebody I know was in Kentucky. He was like, look, it's raining and flooding here too. So I was like, God, how are we in the season of rain when you've been talking about the glory and then the season of war? And this is what God shared with me. He says, some seasons are multifaceted. And during a multifaceted season, he may move in a variety of ways to accomplish more than one thing. We must not only recognize the season, we must be open to all he is accomplishing in the season and discern our assignment in it. We are in a multifaceted season, because a lot of times when we think about outpouring of Holy Spirit and the blessing of God, we just think that, but don't recognize that at that same time is a time of war. The outpouring is really, I don't want to say an act of war, but an action of war. The outpouring that everybody's been praying for is an action of spiritual warfare. And first, let me show you this. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 23. And James, these points are on the slide as well. It says this. Now, these are the numbers of the divisions equipped for war. Say war. These are the numbers of the divisions that are equipped for war who came to David at Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him, meaning David, according to the word of the Lord. Now, let's dissect that. There was a season and a time that came for David. Previously, David was anointed to be king. Now there's a time on God's timeline for the fulfillment of that word, not for David to transition from the anointed to be anointed as. Now, during this time of transition from to be to as, there came divisions equipped for what? War. During times of transition, there will always be spiritual warfare. When you step from one assignment to the next, or go from one level to the next, you will engage in spiritual warfare. And religious folks will say, every level, a new devil for a new level, and all of that stuff. No, you are just pressing behind enemy lines. And so that means there isn't a new demon waiting on you. That means you are pressing into the headquarters of where those demons are launching their assault. Because you are the one advancing. A lot of people used to go to church and testify, ooh, the devil been attacking me. No, the devil is going and testifying that you've been attacking him. Bruce Lee said it this way. When you are in a room full of your enemies, do not think, man, I'm trapped in here with my enemies, but say to yourself, my enemies are trapped in here with me. I want you to flip and see this perspective, because God has anointed you to advance his kingdom, and he needs you to be in agreement, because this is the day of his power. This is the season and the time of rain. Now it says they were equipped for war to turn the kingdom of Saul to him, meaning David. Now, when a transfer this transfer meant and involved a transfer into kingship. Hear what I'm saying prophetically. With that transfer into kingship, that meant a wealth transfer. You're hearing about that because now David went from a limited amount of resources that came from someone else to now being in charge of the resources and the distributor of the resources. I hope you got that. So it goes from being waiting. Let me bring it down. It goes from waiting on a check to signing the checks. Come on. Can I just say it that way? And so there's the transfer of wealth, and then there's also the transfer of authority. He went from sitting under someone to be the authority to be the one that others sit under. Then it came the transfer of positioning, spiritually as well as naturally. Because natural positions can often reflect the spiritual position, which often gives you access to greater degrees of revelation. Because, and I'll say it this way, when you are in a leadership position, even though positional leadership is the lowest form if you function simply by that, but what it grants you is access. Because now you can go in spaces and meet with people that you wouldn't if you wasn't in the position. So now in this transfer, there's a transfer of position. There are doors now open for David that wasn't open before because of a transfer. Say transfer. And now we're talking about a transfer of authority and influence where people didn't know David. Now they know David. So in this transition, we see war to bring about the word. So I would declare to you prophetically that in this time of reign, you are seeing transfers of wealth for you. You are seeing transfers of influence, transfers of authority, and transfers of positioning in your life. I'm just waiting because y'all don't have to say amen to that, but I'm going to say amen to that for myself. Amen to that. Because I'm telling you, this is... Everybody's like, oh, it's about time to be blessed, but warfare comes with it because that's why it said the divisions came equipped for war. You have to recognize that the enemy doesn't want to give up wealth, position, or influence, but God has given you the outpouring of Holy Spirit to take it because it belongs to you anyway. Now, a season of war, I said this already, season of war came to bring about the fulfillment of a word, and that season brought about a transfer from anointed to be to being, from anointing and having potential for something to actually walking in it. Then done are the days that say, when there's going to come a time when I do this, or I'll be glad, God, when I get to do this. One time I was watching Bill Winston's conference, and I said, God, that's the exact kind of conference I want to have. I want to have a conference for business, about leadership, and I want to add education. And God said, well, it's time out for you to stop saying that's what I'm going to do and actually start doing it. I was like, thank you, Jesus. I receive it. Let's go. And so I'm saying for you prophetically that the time is out for you to stop saying what you're going to do or what you wish you would do or what you wish you want to do and start doing it. Say, just do it. Hallelujah. I'm trying to teach this thing, but I feel a preach coming on. I'm telling you, you need to step into your assignment and get an agreement with God because God has spoken some things about you and over you, but you're not in agreement. And you're wondering where he is or where the move of God is. And he's like, I'm already moving. Get in agreement. Stop asking for a move of God and get alignment with the move of God. Whew. Let me calm it down. Now, during a season of war, you will have to face and overcome. Notice I say overcome and face. Just because you're facing something doesn't mean you're not going to overcome it. You have to understand the only outcome is victory. So anything you face, you're going to overcome. You're going to have to face and overcome opposition, fear, and Kelvin prayed this earlier, weariness, you know, that desire to quit, offense, because the enemy would try to bring offense, especially when God started talking about everyone getting in alignment with their assignment and everyone doing their part, things are in motion, and the first thing he would do is try to bring offense to get people out of position. And then the desire to do it your own way, you're going to have to face and overcome that. Because too many people try to interpret the move of God instead of receiving the move of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you for like a week straight, because August 1st marked 2 years that I've been full-time as a business owner. And for a week straight, I was telling people, I'm coming up on my third year. And then God spoke to me about the season of rain during that time, right? And so I'm looking at scriptures, and I was like, yeah, because there was a famine for 3 years, and then Elijah prayed, and I'm interpreting what God has said based upon my upon an experience that was perceived and not even real. And God, and so I was talking to an apostle, and he was like, it's been 3 years already? And he was like, nah, I think it's only been two. And I was like, you know what? On my window in my accounting room, I have a timeline of when I started to mark, you know, that significant event. I looked at the window where, because I write it with dry erase marker on everything. So I was like, wait a minute, it's only been 2 years. I was like, Jesus, why you ain't tell me that earlier? I was telling these people 3 years, 3 years, 3 years. But here's the lesson I learned in it. And of course, I went back and course corrected that. But here's the lesson. Sometimes we can be engaging in building and warfare so much, it can feel like it's been longer than it actually has. And when we get in that place of it feeling like it's been longer, then we can begin to interpret what God is saying based on that feeling that we have. And we can misinterpret what God is saying, because I was all in the scripture talking about, yeah, because God spoke season of rain. And I'm like, yeah, Elijah spoke that it would rain, and it was after a 3-year famine and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting here studying that, and I'm like, yeah, this is so meaningful to me. And I was off. Because something felt like it was a longer time period than it was. So then once that hit me, I was like, okay, God, I got the learning lesson. And I, of course, shared that with other people. And then I said, okay, so what are you actually saying to me about this season of rain? The main thing is this. Rain ends a drought. While economists are trying to predict, or I would say prophesy, or speak a word curse, if you want to get real deep, about shortage and recession, God is saying, I'm raining. So while other people are receiving the report of recession, God is speaking something different, and the choice is, whose report are you going to believe? And a friend of mine, and it's so funny how when I started sharing this, I started hearing other people share this. And somebody right now is running a challenge that says, for business owners, it says, you can opt out of a recession. And I'm like, yes, let me press the opt out button. As a believer, I don't care what the economists on CNBC are saying, you can choose to opt out. You have to come into agreement with God, because God has released the blessing. This is a time of wealth transfer in this season of rain and war. But what happens is the enemy is trying to put contrary noise out in the atmosphere and to try to get you to receive what they are saying versus what he is saying. Try to have you talking about, you know, they saying it's a shortage. I'm not saying there's a shortage. I don't care what they say. I care about what God says, and I care about what I'm saying in alignment with what God says. Like Val would say, boom, that. So rain is the substance that ends a drought. And droughts are prolonged shortages. Whether it has something to do with the atmosphere or the surface or the groundwater. It's an extended shortage. So in this season, I'm declaring and agreeing with God that there are no shortages for the believer. Amen. Now, here's the thing. Let's go back to Joel chapter 2, because it's important for you to see the correlation of rain with the outpouring of Holy Spirit and the movement of Holy Spirit. Because even though this word says outpouring, we know Holy Spirit has already been outpoured, so we're now it's movement. You guys understand what I'm saying? And that's why I tell people, you don't have to ask Holy Spirit to come. He already came. He's already here. We don't have to ask him to send anything down. He's already released it. Because, see, the enemy will always try to get people to ask for what they already have. God wants us to take possession. Now, I know I'm going to read later in this scripture where it talks about we shall ask for rain, but he's talking about taking possession of it, not asking him to send it. But we'll see that in a second. Kelvin, thank you for helping back there. My PowerPoints are already loaded in. So Joel chapter 2, verse 23, it says this, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully." He has taken care of us faithfully. God is faithful. Say, God is faithful. Now, I asked you to say it just to repeat it, but I want you to really think about the faithfulness of God in your life. Have you ever wanted for anything? If you have never wanted for anything, just yell out, God is faithful. Even when it looked like there was a shortage, God has been and will continue to and will always be faithful. During a time of drought, there was a commanded... There was a commanded provision. When you think about Elijah, there was the ravens. Then when it dried up, there was the widow woman. But the rain supersedes provision and places us in abundance. Say abundance. And so it says that God is faithful. And he gives the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. So in one season, the rain that would have happened in two different seasons are now colliding and coming down in one month. So think about that prophetically. In this time period, in this same time, something that will be afar off or the faithfulness that we have seen in the past is on a collision course with each other and will collide in our lives. Heaven is on a collision course with you right now. And so don't think about things happening in the future. You need to posture yourself to receive what he's doing right now, the former and the latter rain today. Now, and then it says, the threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. The results of what happened during a famine, now because of the rain, that God is not only going to restore, but he's bringing abundance. This is your time for restoration, but also your time to surpass what you had. A lot of times when people talk about restoration, they want to get what they lost. But I'm telling you, there's a more on top of the getting what you lost. There is a new and improved version of what you lost that God is releasing along with the abundance. And then it says, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. Verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward, say afterward, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. The rain is a part of the outpouring of Holy Spirit. Do you see that? A lot of times people take those first couple of chapters and talk about the former and the latter rain the first month, and then they shout on that and run on that, teach a whole series of sermons on that, which is okay. And then other people take the second half and do that same thing about the outpouring of Holy Spirit. But there is a connection. So in this multifaceted season, there is a connection between the wealth transfer, the increased authority, the increased favor, the increased stature, and the outpouring and the demonstration of the power of God. They are not separate. It's multifaceted, and there is a connection because God is doing more than one thing in this season. You got to see that. Some of y'all are probably sitting like, man, this is deep. So there is a posture that we have to take during the move of God so that we can personally experience what God is doing corporately. Because you want to receive what God has and not just see God move in the lives of everybody else. Too often that has plagued the body of Christ to the point where young folks don't want to be in church because they said they all talk. Some have been drawn to the new age because they think that's a greater demonstration. Because it's been all talk. Because people have talked about the move of God and not postured themselves to receive or participate in it. So it's been a bunch of preaching, a bunch of hype, and no manifestation. So let me show you the posture, and I'm going to go through this real quick. So in 2 Kings chapter 7, I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, then Elijah said, listen to the word of the Lord. Now he's speaking, and there was a famine. And now here's what he's saying about famine and shortage. He said, thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. They were dealing with something similar, today would be called a recession. They were dealing with high interest rates. They were dealing with high prices, shortages. And Elijah says, tomorrow about this time is going to be different. That's like saying tomorrow about this time, gas is going to be $5 a gallon. So Elijah's prophesying, speaking the word of God that will impact an entire economic situation for the people of God. And he wasn't speaking out of his flesh. He was speaking what he heard God said. Right? So then verse 2, it says, the royal officer on whose hand the king was leaning answered the man of God and said, now let me pause there. Now Elijah is speaking to the king, telling him, and now the officer is speaking up. One, he should have kept his mouth closed. Can I just be real with you? He's standing there in the conversation, but really wasn't supposed to be in the conversation. The conversation was between the king and the prophet. Now, just because he was there present when the conversation had, doesn't mean he should have interjected. Because his interjection disqualified him. Because he could not process what God was saying and didn't posture himself to simply receive it. When you cannot process, just position yourself. Because sometimes your mind will not be able to process the move of God. So you just have to posture yourself to receive it. Because a lot of times we want to try to make the move of God fit into the parameters of our knowledge and the parameters of what we've learned and what the economists say because I took economics, or this is what they're saying in school because I've got my certification and all of that. But sometimes God's like, I don't care about that. He does what he wants, how he wants. And if it's contrary to what we've been taught or have seen, oh, well, I'm going with the contrary with God. Because sometimes he takes the foolish things to confound the wise. And you will see the wisdom in the foolish thing that God uses. Because the wisdom of God is supernatural. And the wisdom of God is a weapon that is released during times of war. if you go back to, I didn't get to read it, but that same chapter where David, where those people came to David, the men of war, one of the groups was listed with the children of Issachar who had discernment of the time. Their whole purpose, their whole assignment was to be the ones who could discern the time and give strategy. Everybody else had bows, arrows, and spears. So sometimes your position, I remember I said this before, sometimes your position may just be to be the strategist. And it's just as important as the one with the spear. And so you don't want to be out there stabbing without wisdom. Trying to shank somebody. So this is what he said in verse 2. The royal officer on whose hand the king was leaning answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord shall make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" Then he said, "Behold, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat of it." He said, you're going to see the move of God, but you won't participate or benefit from it. And then he says more stuff that I'm not going to read, but let me check this, give you this. The officer's perspective and his faith had been tainted by the current conditions to the point where he did not receive the prophetic word. And since he didn't receive the prophetic word, he observed its fulfillment for everybody else, but didn't experience it himself. His perspective on the situation got so tainted, he couldn't receive the word. And now he was in the position where he saw it for everybody else, couldn't receive it for himself, and then end up dying because they trampled him getting to the stuff. Selah. So let me tell you how to position yourself. But I'm going to tell you, don't allow your ability to receive from God be tainted by your perspective of the situation. Even as you assess the situation, even as information is brought to you, don't allow that information to taint you and to taint your perspective. Because if your perspective is tainted, God can be moving and you miss it. And then be praying and crying out, asking God to move. So here's the posture that I'm going to give you so that you can stay in alignment. Of course, there's a lot more I could say, but that's a part two. So the first thing is this. When you discern the season, you need to ask, believe, and receive all that God is releasing in that season. So when you know what God is doing, when you hear a word like this, then you just position yourself and say, God, I believe I receive the rain. The scripture in Zechariah 10, verse 1 says, ask rain from the Lord at the time of spring rain. Why would God tell you to ask for something if he during a time that is happening? Well, because in Matthew 7, he says, ask and it will be given. He says, everyone who asks receives. And then Mark 11, he says, when you stand praying, ask, and then believe you have received it, then it will be granted. Now, I know I just pieced together, not pieced together, but I just took you through four different scriptures. But the point is this. During this time, we know warfare is a part of it, but we also know it's a time of rain. And so to posture ourselves to be in agreement, we definitely must declare, this is my time of rain. And then we begin to say, Father, I receive your rain. And after you ask for it, because you ask for it, meaning you place a demand and access it. Because this is the season for the rain, so now you are placing a demand and accessing the rain that God has and has released. And then you have to believe you receive the rain. So it's not like God sent it. it's God, I thank you for the rain. I receive your rain. I receive this transfer of wealth. I receive this transfer of authority. I receive this outpouring of Holy Spirit. I receive the demonstration of your power through me. Then you have to believe you receive it. And then you can't try to define what the manifestation of God's power should look like. You have to allow God to reveal it to you. Because you can't think the season of rain and revival means a bunch of churches coming together and having church services for a week. Because you will miss it. Revival is happening in the marketplace. And when I say marketplace, I'm talking about every other sphere of influence outside of the sphere of faith. People are getting healed and set free or in business meetings. So could it be that the revival you want to see in a church house may first start somewhere else? And could it be as God positions you with new wealth, it is part of the revival? It is more than us coming and having a service? And could it be that the spiritual warfare that you are experiencing is all part of the outpouring and the move of God? So you can't try to define it. You have to allow God to reveal it to you. And this is how Mary did that in Luke 1 and 38. I know we read this scripture during Christmas time, because that's the time people talk about the birth of Jesus the most. But here's the correct posture. Because when Gabriel came to her to talk about how she would be the one to birth the Messiah, meaning, and everybody knew the Messiah was coming through a virgin. That wasn't like fresh news. That was written in the Word. So she had an angelic visitation that confirmed this, how the Word, you're the instrument that this Word is going to be fulfilled through. And she first asked, how can this be? Because I haven't, known a person like that, known a man like that. And then he says, the power of Holy Spirit will come upon you and overshadow you. Now, I'm sure she was wondering, trying to do two, 2 plus 2 doesn't seem like it equals 4 right there. Because you have to think Mary was a natural woman. So and she was young at that. So she's thinking, wait a minute. So the power of God is going to come over me and all of a sudden I'm going to be pregnant? You're not going to anoint a man, then we come together and produce a baby? So I'm sure in her mind, because that had never happened before, nor has happened since, she was wondering, how could this be? And she probably, I won't go there because that's a deeper teaching. I won't even say it because y'all going to be like, I won't even do it. And so she was wondering how it could be. And then even after the explanation, I'm sure she had more questions. But her response wasn't to try to rationalize it. She just simply said, behold, the bond slave of the Lord, or the servant of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed. The posture we must have to be in agreement with God is to say, God, do it according to your word. Not according to my word. Not according to my thoughts. Not according to the counsel of other people. But God, do it according to your word. Because even when we are unsure of how God's word will come to pass, we must take that same posture as Mary. Because if we try to define what it should look like or try to create a strategy versus receiving a strategy, we will miss or delay the fulfillment of God's promises. So in this season of rain, know that the spiritual warfare that you are dealing with is a result of a supernatural transfer and a supernatural move of God. Just say, be it unto me. Just say, be it unto me according to your word. And I'm not saying let the challenges be unto me. I'm saying, God, let your word be your word unto me according to as you have spoken. Hallelujah. Don't be like John's dad, who said so much that the angel had to close his mouth because of his unbelief. He said, I'm going to keep you from speaking anything contrary to what I have said. Come on, Eric. He said, I'm going to keep you from speaking anything contrary to what I have said, so I'm going to keep you from talking, period. Now, I sense too, and I shared this with some other people when I shared a different part of this message with them. Some of you have been dealing with word curses. And what I mean by a word curse, some people have been dealing with, somebody has literally tried to do a hex. But also, some have been dealing with the negative words spoken about you or your situation. A word curse can be spoken even from somebody who loves you, because they are speaking words that are not in agreement with God's word. And so what happens is that disagreeing word now produces a spiritual construct that the enemy tries to use to fight against you, to wage war against you. Notice how the scripture tells us to wage war with the prophetic word we've received. Well, the enemy tries to use that same principle, but tries to wage war against you based upon negative words that have been spoken about you, either to your face or even behind your back. And so I want you to be clear that those word curses are broken today.